The third perek is the famous perek Hakira, which deals with a lot of the halachas of cooking on Shabbos. And this perek, and in conjunction with the next perek, require a little bit background before we go through the Mishnayos. Chazal had a general concern that even if food is, for the most part, cooked, but not fully cooked, or even if it's fully cooked, but it could still be improved, somebody may come to stoke the coals underneath, that there's an active heat source underneath, and that would violate the prohibition of mavir, a havara, which is lighting a fire. So indeed, there are various limitations on what can be left on a heat source or not a heat source coming into Shabbos. That's going to be a discussion, a primary discussion of this parak. The next parak is going to talk about not when we have an active heat source, but we have something that is hot and we want to insulate it before Shabbos. And the important distinction is that we are going to be permitted to do hatmana, insulation, when the insulation itself does not increase the heat. But if it does increase the heat, that would be prohibited even doing the hatmana before Shabbos. So we're going to start with Mishnah Aleph. We're going to talk about the kira, which was a type of stove that they had at the time of Chazal, which was the least hot of the three types of stoves that we are going to discuss between this and the next Mishnah. So the structure of the kira was that it was rectangular, the heat source was inside of it, and on top of it you could put two different pots. So that's why it's a little bit larger, so the heat source was not as strong because there was more that was being cooked. It was a bit larger than the next two that we'll discuss in the next Mishnah. So if we have a kira, kira shi sikua bekashu v'gvava. So if we have that kira and it is heated by either straw or gvava, is chips of wood. So these are the type of fuel sources that will burn very quickly. They're just going to go out very quickly. They do not turn into charcoal. And accordingly, we don't have a concern that if we leave food on a kira that is heated by kashu gvava, that you would come to stoke the coals, because no coals will come out of having kashu gvava. So accordingly, no snima lehatavshil is permitted to leave cooked food from before Shabbos on that kira, because we don't have that concern that you're going to stoke the fuels, because this is not a very strong heat source. On the other hand, even when we have this kira, if it's heated by gefes uveitzim, gefes is olive pulp or some other pulp, sesame pulp, for example. So that's something that is a strong heat source. It really is conductive to the heat. Uveitzim, or not small chips of wood, but wood. These are items that indeed get very hot and they last and they can become charcoal. Accordingly, even though the kira is the least hot of the types of stoves, when it's heated with gefet uveitzim, lo yiten, you're not allowed to leave that food from before Shabbos on it going into Shabbos unless you make one of two fixes, ad sheyigrof, until you remove that heat source. So you have to remove the coals that are made from the gefen of the eitzim, or ad sheyiten at the eifer, or until you cover up the heat source with ash. And that, if you do one of those two fixes, then you'd be permitted to leave the food on going into Shabbos. Now we're going to have two machlokeses between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel as to what we're talking about in the reisha, that you're permitted to leave food. Beis Shammai omrim chamim v'lo tavshil. Beis Shammai says, when I say that you're permitted to leave food from it before Shabbos, so that only means you can leave hot water on, but not anything that's cooked. Beis Hillel omrim chamim v'tavshil. Beis Hillel loves the view, whether it's hot water or whether it's something that's cooked, it would be permitted to leave it on the kira if we fulfill the requirements we just discussed. And another machlokas, Beis Shammai omrim notlin avalo machzirin. I permit you to take off that hot water, because Beis Shammai only permits hot water, but it's taking it off of the kira, but not returning it to the kira. Beis Hillel omrim af machzirin. Beis Hillel was of the view that you can take off what's permitted to leave on, and Beis Hillel permitted to leave on not only hot water, but cooked item as well. But not only can you take it off, you can return it as well, as long as if it fits the requirements of chazara. Chazara, the requirement here, we have to make sure that you don't make it look like you're cooking on Shabbos. So as long as you held it in your hand, it's still hot, various requirements for chazara, then Beis Hillel would be makel to put it back onto that kira. Mishnah Beis, now we're going to talk initially about the tanur, which was the most hot type of stove. If we think about a teepee, the heat source was on the bottom and the top was much more narrow, so the heat was much more concentrated in it. Accordingly, we're going to be much more machmir. Tanur si sikua bekashu v'gvava, even a tanur that was only heated with that not very strong heat source of the kashu gvava, the straw, small chips of wood, lo yiten You're not permitted to leave something that was cooked before Shabbos, whether inside of it or on top of it, because indeed you may come to stir the embers, because this is a very hot oven. That is the most hot. So now we've talked about in the first Mishnah Kir, which was the least hot. Now we've talked about the Tana, which is the most hot. Now we're going to talk about the Kupach, which was in between those two. It had a medium heat source, and the reason why it was medium is that it was similar somewhat in structure to the Kira that we started with, but it wasn't rectangular with two pots on it. It was square with one pot on top of it. Accordingly, it wasn't as, it was hotter than the Kira, but it's not as hot as the Tanur. So the Kupach, it's going to be similar to the Kira in one way, and it's going to be similar to the Tanur in another way. Kupach, again, this is the middle heat. She sikua bekashuk vava. If you have a weak heat source on it, that's the kashuk vava. Kareza kikira, and we're going to treat it like the kira in Mishnah Aleph, and it's going to be permitted to leave the food on it from before Shabbos. However, this medium heat source, this kupach, the stove that has medium heat, if you heated it with begefet of eitzim, the high heat source, hareza katana, we're going to treat it like the tanner, which is the most hot stove, and accordingly, you're not going to be permitted to leave the food on it coming into Shabbos. Mishnah Gimel, a nosnim beitza betzad hamecham bishvil shitizgagel. Now we're talking about various other forms of cooking, and first we're going to talk about something that in indeed was cooked on an eish, it was cooked on a fire, so that's called toldos eish. So no, ein nosnim beitza bitzad amechem, if we have a hot kettle. And now we're talking about something that was on the heat source, it's what we're going to call a kli rishon. Kli rishon is something that was heated on the fire itself. Even if you took it off, it still continues to be able to heat and cook as long as it's still hot. So you're not permitted to put an egg by it, bishvil shetizgagel, which is, means in order to cook it. What this is talking about is when you have a raw egg, it doesn't roll very well, but when you cook it, it rolls much easier. So you're not allowed to put a raw egg next to a hot kettle in order for it to get cooked. The lo yafkiena besudarim, and not only are we ushering, the Tanakhama says told us age cooking by something that was cooked on a fire, but even something that became heated in the sun. So if you have, for example, the sudar is talking about a scarf, you're not permitted to break an egg open and fry it on a hot scarf, even if the scarf is told us hakama, that means it was heated up with the rays of the sun. So that would be problematic. So Rabbi Yossi Mati, Rabbi Yossi is of the view, told us hakama is not a problem, that's not a way that we cook, and accordingly it's not a problem opening up that egg on a hot scarf that was heated up in the sun. And even Rabbi Yossi would agree with the next statement. He would be machmir v'lo yatmineno b'chol uvavak drachim. You're not allowed to bury an egg, a raw egg, in chol, which is in sand or the dust that people travel on, bishvil shetitzale, in order for it to be roasted. So that would be prohibited. We have a concern here that somebody indeed might come to cover it up with hot ash cooking deraisa, and accordingly don't even do it by putting it in the ground, by burying an egg in the ground in order to cook it, even in hot dust and hot sand. Mishnah Dalit is going to talk about heating water in a hot spring. So if we think about a hot springs, Tveria, the hot pools, the hot water, the natural hot water there. So there was a maisa, masa sha'asu anshe Tveria. There was a maisa that the people lived in Tveria. They did the following. Veheviu silon shel tzone. They brought a pipe of cold water underneath the ground, letoch ama shel chamin. And they had it go through a canal which had natural hot springs in it. And they did this before Shabbos. They didn't do it on Shabbos. But here, Chazal will tell them you can't do that because the heating is going to continue or will occur on Shabbos. So even if it's getting reheated on Shabbos from the desert hot springs or it is being initially heated, that's a problem, even though you set it up before Shabbos. Amrulam Chachamim. Chachamim say, as we mentioned before, this is like hatmana, this is like insulation. It's like insulating the cold water and being heated. And when we said hatmana, if you insulate something, which will increase the heat, which is what's happening here, that is problematic even if it's set up before Shabbos. So accordingly, Amrulam Chachamim Im B'Shabbos, if this heating or keeping hot is happening on Shabbos, which it is, Kechamim Shuchmu B'Shabbos, this is like water that indeed was heated up on Shabbos, and accordingly, Asurim B'Rechitzo V'Shtiyah, it's prohibited to wash with it, it's prohibited to drink it, you're not allowed to benefit from that hot water. It's effectively was heated on Shabbos, and if we're talking about B'Yom Tov, heating water on Yontev, Kechamim Shuchmu B'Yom Tov, we're going to treat it halachically like water that indeed you did heat on Yontev. Accordingly, Asurim B'Rechitzo, you're prohibited to wash with it, Umuturim B'Shtiyah, and we'd be permitted to drink it. Continuing, we're now going to talk about various ways of heating water and what is permitted and what's not. So if we have Muliar, which is a basin of water, and the way that they would heat it is it was surrounded by something that held coals. So it's like a water heater surrounded by coals. But what happens if Hagar, if you remove those coals before Shabbos? So now it's still hot. It's continuing to be heated. Not heated, but it's continuing to be hot from when it was heated. But you remove the heat source. Accordingly, Shosim Himena B'Shabbos, you're permitted to drink. You're permitted to take that hot water on Shabbos. On the other hand, if we have an Antichi, it's also a basin for heating water, but it was much hotter. The way that the Antichi work is that it had a double bottom underneath it, and between those two bottoms, it had a serious coating of coal. So there was coal between them. And even if you remove that coal, but because it was so insulated at that double bottom, it continued to be hot. Accordingly, afal pi shegrufa, even though you remove the coals, ein shosi mimenu, you're not permitted to drink it. That's like hadman. It's like it was insulated with something that increases the heat. Accordingly, you're not allowed to use that water on Shabbos. Mishnah, hey, we're going to see a distinction between what is a kli rishon and a kli sheni. Kli rishon is something that was heated on a heat source, on a fire, and even when it's removed, you cannot put things inside of it to cook them, because as long as that kli rishon is still hot from when it's in the fire, it cooks, as opposed to a kli sheni. If you move the food from that kli rishon, in other words, you had something cooking, you had chicken on the stove, and you took it from the kli rishon, you took the kli rishon off the fire, you take the chicken out and put it onto your plate, that's going to be a kli sheni. So Mishnah Hey says as follows, Hamecham Shipino, if you have a kettle and you took it off the heat source, that kettle is still a kli rishon. Accordingly, lo yiten lesocho tzonen bishvil shehi chamu, you're not allowed to put cold water into that kettle in order to heat up that cold water. That is cooking it on Shabbos in a kli rishon. Aval, however, no senu lesocho, you would be permitted to put cold water into it, o letoch hakos, or into a cup. That's the kli sheni. You put some hot water from the kettle into the kli sheni. Kedei lahavshirun, if your intention, you put a lot of water in, and your intention is not to heat up the original water, but to cool it down by putting a lot of water into either that kli rishon or kli sheni, that would be permitted. Now, if we have hot eel pas v'hakadera, these are again kli rishon. An eel pas is a pan, a kadera is a pot, shevrir merutachin, and you took them off the heat source when they were still boiling. So that's still a kli rishon because it's still hot. Accordingly, you can't put something to cook in it. Lo yiten lesochan tfalim, you're not allowed to put spices into it because that kli rishon, even though it's not on the heat source, it's still hot. It's going to cook those spices. Aval nosen hu lesocha keara o letocha tamchai, but you would be permitted to put that spices into kli sheni. In other words, if you took the food out of that pot or pan and you put it into a kara, which is a bowl, or the tamchoy, a serving bowl, you would be permitted to indeed put even spices, or especially spices, into them because a kli sheni doesn't cook. Rabbi Yehuda omer la kol hu nosen, Rabbi Yehuda has a very different take. You're allowed to put spices into anything, even into a kli rishon. Not a problem putting spices in, because spices do not cook very easily. Chutz midavar sheyesh bo chometz v'tzir, with the exception of if you have something, kli rishon, kli sheni, that has in it chometz or tzir, which is vinegar or fish brine. Those are spicy, sharp items that would cook even spices, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Spices don't cook very easily, but indeed, if it's vinegar or fish brine is in your dish that you're going to add the spices to, then that those spices would be cooked, and that's going to be problematic. Mishnah Vav is going to talk about the muksa concept that you're not allowed to cause something to become muksa on Shabbos, something that was not muksa initially, and you're going to make it muksa now on Shabbos. That cannot be done. That's called mevatal kli mehechano. You are making something that was accessible on Shabbos into something that's muksa. Mishnah Vav, a nosin kli tachas haner lekabel bo et hashemen. You're not permitted to take a kli, for example, a bowl, underneath a lit candle, and that candle is lit with oil and maybe dripping. You're not allowed to put a bowl underneath it to collect the oil that's dripping, because now you're making that bowl muksa. You can't make something muksa on Shabbos. If you did that before Shabbos, muter, then it's permitted to do it because you're making it muksa from before Shabbos, not on Shabbos. And if you did that, if you did put that bowl underneath the oil, you're not allowed to benefit from that oil. That oil, oil was designated for lighting a candle, for lighting a lamp. And accordingly, it is muksa, which means that eino mina mukhan, it's not accessible to us. It's been designated for a mixed purpose. You're not allowed to benefit from it on Shabbos. Now we're going to talk about carrying of lamps, lit, unlit, are they muksa or not? So metaltali ner chadash avo lo yashan. The first sheet is you're allowed to carry a ner chadash, which is a ner, a candle that is new. It's never been lit, but not one that has been lit in the past. Even if it's not lit right now, it's still muksa machmas iser. It is still a certain type of, or muksa machmas mius. It's a muksa machmas mius means it's something that's disgusting, it's repulsive. Something that has been lit as a candle, as a lamp, is something that is muksa because it's disgusting to be carrying it. So even if it's not lit right now, it can't be moved on Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon Omer kol aneros metaltlin. You're allowed to move all of the lamps on Shabbos, chutz min haner hadolek b'Shabbos, as long as it's not lit right now. Even if it's been lit in the past, even if it's filthy, it doesn't matter. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold by muksa machmas mius. He doesn't hold by that. Accordingly, as long as it's not lit, it's permitted to move it on Shabbos. Nosnin kli tachas haner lekabel nitzosos. Even though we said before that you're not allowed to put a kli under a lamp in order to collect the oil, because you're making that kli muksa, but what you're allowed to do indeed is to put the kli under a candle in order to collect the spark, so there's not a fire. That is not a problem because you're not collecting something tangible, so that's not being mevatal kli meichano, that's not making a muksa on Shabbos, it's just there to collect the spark, something intangible, v'lo yiten l'socha mayim. But what you can't do, even before Shabbos you cannot do, is to put water inside that bowl that will, the sparks will end up in. Because literally it means that you are extinguishing it. But even if you set it up before Shabbos, our concern here is someone may come to do it on Shabbos as well, and that would be somebody who's involved in extinguishing those sparks on Shabbos. So don't even set it up before Shabbos, because you may come to do it on Shabbos.